everybody, and welcome to We Gotta Talk. If you're a mom, especially a mom with a tween or a teenage girl, this episode is for you. My guest this week is Elise Taven, an award-winning beauty journalist, editor, and beauty expert with more than 16 years of experience. She previously held the title of executive beauty editor at New Beauty Magazine for 13 years, where she oversaw and reported on all things beauty, plastic surgery, anti-aging, health, and wellness. But most recently, she's added the title of founder to her resume with Twish, a skincare line that's formulated specifically for a tween or a teenager who wants good skin, but doesn't want to be stealing products from their mom's vanity to get it. Because let's be honest, the stuff we use on our skin as a 30, 40, or 50 something is not what our daughters should be using on their skin. One of Twish's star products features colloidal silver, which you'll hear Elise talk all about, but mainly it's aimed at helping with acne. So if that's something your child or you struggle with, you'll want to stay tuned for that part of the episode. In this interview, we cover everything that moms and kids need to know about skin. Things like what ingredients to avoid, what a tween or a teenager's skincare routine should actually include, why she will not be shading any of those so-called Sephora tweens anytime soon, and what the future of beauty and skincare looks like for both moms and their daughters. Enjoy. All right. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to We Gotta Talk. Really excited about today's episode. She's capturing some really interesting dialogue that's been going on all around the internet on Sephora tweens. We're going to have some skincare talk for your daughters today. And we're also going to touch on beauty topics for you, their mother. My guest is Elise Taven. She's an award-winning beauty journalist, editor, beauty expert, more than 16 years of experience. She's also the founder of the line Twish Skin, which, so cool, she founded with her young daughter. She previously held the title of executive beauty editor at New Beauty Magazine for 13 years, and she is a prolific content creator and expert on all things beauty. Elise, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you.
I was like, you know what? Of all people to comment on the Sephora tweens like scandal, it's you. So let's start. If you're a mom listening, stay tuned, because I told Elise, we can't get off the call without me asking you about like the latest aesthetic procedures, the filler. Don't worry, my dog's in the car. Don't worry. Talk about like the latest products for the moms too. So stay tuned for that. But I do want to start with all these kids in skincare lately. You've seen the headlines, right? Some are like sort of hate the fact that all these tweens are infiltrating Sephora stores. Some support it. What are your thoughts on this trend?
I think that it's part of like the normal progression that girls, and I mean, even as a woman, we're so, you know, in tune to like beauty and seeing what's new and viral and finding the newest products and treatments. So I think that it's just a normal progression of womanhood, that when you're young, you want to kind of dabble in skincare and beauty products and hair products and perfume and all that. I mean, I remember I did when I was a kid, but it was different. It was more limited. It was like Bonnie Bell lip smackers. And I think Juicy Tube from Lancome was like the most, you know, high-end product I could get my hands on because it was expensive at the time. But it's normal. And I think that it's gotten a little blown out of proportion by media and social media specifically saying that these tweens are coming into Sephora and destroying the stores and being disrespectful of the staff and, you know, demanding and spending an exorbitant amount of money on products. I've been in Sephora stores across the country. I have yet to really see that with my own two eyes. I'm not saying that it's not happening, but I haven't seen it personally. And where we are in South Florida, there are a lot of children that have access to money to spend. But I haven't walked into Sephora and seen like just an overrun store of, you know, tweens where I'm like, oh my God, it's like they exited, you know, this like massive ship and there's 1,000 11-year-olds that are just pilfering the whole entire store. I think the biggest thing to come out of this whole Sephora tween scandal, if you will call it that, which we can call it whatever we want, is the importance of educating the younger generation on what's really appropriate for them and what they really should be using, because so many of them are influenced by whatever goes viral on TikTok or whatever they see on Instagram. And a lot of times they're following girls and women that are older than them. So if they're following influencers who are 25 years old, their skin problems are going to be completely different from somebody who's 10. So you got to take a little bit of, you know, a bigger picture lens with all this and really take a step back and be like, okay, that's fine that you follow this girl, but her skin and your skin are totally different. So we have to kind of look at what she's using and what's really appropriate for you and what might not be best suited.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's nothing new for young girls to be intrigued by beauty. And, you know, whether it was the, like you said, the Bonnie Bell and the Noxzema and the Seabreeze that we used or Drunk Elephant today. I mean, the only difference is the quality of the product ultimately. So, yeah, I'm glad that you said it like that, kind of giving it grace, because there's so many people who want to like be up in arms. Now, listen, I'm not saying your teen should go in and like upend the tester section, but I mean, let's not act like this is something new. We did this too. Like, we cared about how we looked at 11. This is not news. Society is partially responsible for that too. I mean, they tell us when we are this big, it matters how you look. So I hate how people are like, oh, so shocking. Well, no, not really, right? These are girls.
I agree. And I think that, you know, what's really kind of unfair is the moms who are getting all the pushback on it, because whether you're somebody who says, I let my kid wear makeup to school in fifth or sixth grade, or I'm totally against it, like everyone can take their own stance on what they feel is appropriate for their tween or teen to do and wear. And I don't judge anybody because we all have different thoughts and views. But at the end of the day, if you're somebody who says, okay, I'm going to let my child go into, let's say, Five Below with $5 and she can get some play around makeup to use at home, and somebody else says, well, I'm going to give my kid $30 to go into Sephora. It's the same thing that you're doing at the end of the day. You're just going into a different store and you're spending a different amount of money. So to come at the moms for this when, you know, these kids are really at just like an experimental phase, and some of them, you know, it's a fun thing to do. Go to Sephora, go to Ulta, and spend an afternoon playing around with makeup, or, you know, finding a new nail polish that you really like. That there's a whole discovery pattern and a whole self-exploration part of beauty and makeup that I think has been left out of this equation, you know, and a lot of people, it's like an art form. They feel that if they can discover makeup and skincare at a young age, and that's something that makes them feel good about themselves, and it makes them feel like this is my time for me, that every morning I can take 7 minutes to, you know, wash my face, put on a little bit of eyebrow gel, a little bit of lip balm, whatever it is to get their day started or make them feel good. You know, these kids have long, hard days ahead of them. School's not easy. We've all been there. We know what it's like. And if that's like the little bit of, you know, time that they have in the morning or at night to relish in all of it and make themselves feel, you know, this is what I can do to start my day or end my day, or this is how I find that moment of like self-awareness of this is what makes me feel good about me, and this is my way of taking care of myself. I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, at all. I agree.
And it's really unfair that the moms are the ones who get so much pushback with all this, that they're, you know, encouraging their kids to wear makeup early on. They're encouraging their kids to take care of their skin. It's not necessarily a bad thing if it's not something that, you know, it's something that you agree with and you're like, I don't have a problem with it.
Right. And my whole thing too is if you're concerned, which I know I am, with the importance or the relevance that society places on beauty and how you look, have that conversation then. I mean, it's like the conversation about social media. You can either keep kids away from a phone forever, or you can tell them, hey, when you pick up the phone, what you see is not real. I mean, at some point, you know, if that's what you're uncomfortable with, which I completely understand. And I think I struggle with that too, being so overt with my love of all things beauty. There are times when I already speak with my 9-year-old and my 6.5-year-old, not really the 6.5-year-old, but my 9-year-old with like, hey, mommy does this not because I need to go out of the house in the morning looking a certain way, because I feel, you know, like I'm not worthy. I do it because it's fun. And they're going to see me with a full face of makeup some days, and they're going to see me totally bare face the other days. So it's the conversations you have behind it, I think, that's the most relevant. And remind me, how old's your daughter again, Elise?
She's 15 years old. So we're at that age where she's definitely in some makeup, but she wears very natural makeup. And she likes, you know, she's really getting into perfume right now. And skincare has always been a big thing for her. Granted, she's grown up in the house with a beauty editor. So she's been exposed to all this very early on. Right. But I think that she has a really good lens when it comes to beauty. And I always try and talk to her about things and say, like you're saying, what you're seeing on social media might not really be real. It could be filtered. It could be Photoshopped. A lot of times, nothing is what you see it to be. Don't get swayed by a lot of the things that you see on there. I think that everything is just like perfect and people wake up and that's what they look like. I'm like, a lot of it's fake. And as long as you just tell them, you know, what's real and what's not reality and you explain it to them, I think it puts things into perspective. So they have a little bit of a better understanding of, I don't have to look like this girl because she doesn't even look like that herself. And then, you know, they have a little bit more self-awareness of being able to figure out, okay, this picture probably is not real. And it's funny because sometimes I'll see something and I'll show it to her and she'll be like, Mom, that is like the fakest picture I've ever seen. And
I'm
like,
love that you see
it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, yeah, it's, we have to equip our kids now with a whole new set of tools because of technology. And that's the hard part. You can't avoid it. So you might as well tell them. And wait, just real quick before we get into like skincare and self-care that's actually good for teens and tweens, what is your like first tween-aged beauty product that you remember just like slathering on?
Oh gosh. I had acne when I was a teenager and I would use everything and anything to make it go away because I was so super self-conscious of my skin. And I want to say the first product that I remember using was Noxzema, the cleanser that was like that white menthol cleanser, and it used to burn. And I had a giant tub of it and I would just like wash my face with it so many times a day. And then I went to sleepaway camp and my mom sent me with, and I can't believe that this is like what we used to use, but hey, nobody knew better back then. She sent me with a sleeve of Buff Puffs, which were, I don't know if you remember those.
Yes.
And you would activate them under water.
They were like hardened plastic in like a teardrop shape. And they're like, here, scrub the dirt. Like, and we'd be like,
yes. Like it was like sandpaper, legit like sandpaper. And I would use that on my face. And I think if I remember correctly, I think I would sometimes put the Noxzema on it. And then I would follow it up with a Stridex pad. So I really did not have like a very good skincare routine when I was younger because I really didn't know, you know, there wasn't as much education. You really only went to the doctor or the dermatologist if you had like major cystic acne. Right. I'm lucky that I did not have it to that degree, but I had plenty of breakouts and I always had pimples and I was always wearing makeup to cover it up. And when I did go to the dermatologist, I think they gave me like a face wash that was it. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to like use to solve my problems. And a face wash was, you know, it helps, but it's not like, that's not the only thing that you're going to be able to implement when you have breakouts. It's always about being consistent and you have to take a look at like everything. Are you removing all your makeup at night? Are you treating your pimples instead of picking them? Are you, you know, loading up on dairy if that's the cause of it, you know, stress, sleep, all that. So That's my first memory of like skincare products that I use. And I think that was back when I was like 12 or 13, I want to say.
Yeah. It's wild. And this is a perfect segue into what I want to dig into next, which is skincare that's actually good for teens. And if I'm getting your sort of founder story right, you and your daughter realized that, listen, there's a demand for products with kids at this age, and there's a vacuum of products that are actually good for them. So yes, you kind of put your heads together, sort of the person living the experience and the person with the real world beauty experience, and came up with this line, Twish Skincare, which is, if it's aimed directly at, right,
yes,
girls,
yes,
and young women who don't want to be going down the Stridex, Noxzema, Seabreeze, Buff Puff route.
Totally. Long story short, when we were in lockdown during COVID, Madison was, I guess, turning 12, and she started breaking out. That was like her first segue into pimples and blemishes and blackheads. And she looked at me one day and she's like, I can't take it. I don't know what's going on. I don't like it. And it's really bothering me.
Right.
And I took her into my office in my house, and I have a big beauty closet that's like a mini Sephora, if you will. And started giving her some products to try. And everything that I knew was effective or good, she would look at it and say, that's ugly. That looks like something you would use. It smells terrible. You know, no, no, no. And anything that she was gravitating to, which majority was on TikTok that she was seeing products, I said, that's, first of all, way too expensive for you to be using, or you don't really need those ingredients in it. And we couldn't really find a happy medium. So I said, I can't be the only mom out there who is struggling with trying to find skincare for their teens. And I kept on remembering my struggles as a teenager and how I was just using whatever my mom told me to use. And I mean, I love my mother, but she was not a skincare expert or junkie. And so we were kind of like at a loss. And I said, I don't want Madison to go through the same struggles that I had and go down that same route. So we started kind of like picking apart products and seeing what can we work with. What, this was before I even had the idea to make Twish. I was just like, I'm like stuck, you know, nobody can give me an answer. And getting the answer of using organic or natural wasn't good enough for me. So, you know, we started using some products that had salicylic acid. And then I said, well, what about colloidal silver? Because that was always one of my beauty editor, like go-to ingredients that I think is totally underrated. So I was buying some colloidal silver gel and using that, and then taking a little bit of salicylic acid from another product and mixing it together. And I'm like, okay, this is starting to like work, but I'm putting stuff together myself and I need it to be done the right way. And I looked at her and I said, do you want to make a skincare line? And she was like, what? And I'm like, no, I think that this is like, I think I have an idea. And obviously this was way before all the teens were using Drunk Elephant and the Sephora, you know, tween saga and all of that. So it kind of just, you know, I was like, I think this has legs. And we started putting pen to paper and came up with some of the ideas. And I worked with a Harvard-trained chemist who helped us to get everything formulated right. And that's how we came up with the idea of Twish.
So how did you focus in on colloidal silver being the hero ingredient?
I did a lot of research. I mean, I've always used it for pretty much anything and everything. I've used it for burns, scrapes, bug bites, razor burns, blemishes, you know, curling iron burns that I get. Like, I just, I've always liked that ingredient. And I always found that the research behind it, because it has been used in hospital settings for wound healing for like hundreds of years. And it does have antibacterial, anti-inflammatory properties. It's in some skincare products, not in any teen skincare products. And it's just one of those ingredients that's just a little bit like underplayed in the market. Not a lot of people use it. Because a lot of people just gravitate towards like what's trending, you know, if niacinamide is the big thing, everybody wants niacinamide now, retinol and vitamin C. So you see it everywhere. So I did a lot of research on it. I've used it myself in the past. Madison's also eczematic. So I had to be sure that whatever I was using on her skin wasn't going to make her any drier, wasn't going to damage her skin, make her really red. And I said, I got to find a way to marry these two ingredients together that it's safe for her to use, because she's got such tricky skin to work with. You know, it's breakout prone and it's dry, but it's eczematic. And I just wanted to find a way to formulate with the colloidal silver that we could put it into actual formulations that were gel based and clear with no fragrance, none of the irritants, none of the chemicals. And it took me a long time to find a chemist who was able to get my vision and to make the products the way I wanted them to be made. Mm-hmm. But 3 years almost it took us to get the formulations right. But once we had them, we were like, this is it.
Yeah, I am reading this from just a totally sort of like consumer point of view. But when I think of colloidal silver, I don't know. I think heal, just what you said, I think more soothing, more healing. It's not a product that's like ripping my daughter's or son's skin off their face. And it's more healing, which is such a more popular way of treating skin these days. Like you said, when we were young, it was like, just scrub the pimples off. Right. Little did we know that we were aggravating. We were like disturbing the soil so the plant couldn't grow. I mean, I had a horrible case of acne. Horrible, horrible, like psychologically damaging case in my 20s. And same thing, like even then, my life and my skin didn't change until I treated it gently. Mm-hmm. I went the facial and sort of aesthetics expert route after going through every dermatologist in town, doing Accutane, doing the cortisone shots, doing the medicated whatever. And finally, I was like, I met this, she was this amazing Eastern European woman. And she was like, don't you know that like what you're doing is actually making your skin break out? It's like dry and it's producing oil because it's trying to replace all of the things that you're constantly stripping. And it was like a light bulb went off. This is when I became obsessed with beauty because I had such a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. And since then, I'm so glad that the sort of conversation on skincare has turned more toward nurturing, because it is our instinct to just be like, okay, like erase it, make it go away. When in reality, you can have to continue to nurture the skin, right?
You do. And I think a lot of finding the right treatment and ingredients and products comes down to also understanding your skin type. And that's something with Twitch that we try and educate, is that, you know, there's five different types of skin, and you have to really understand what you have, because if you are using something that is not formulated specifically to what your skin needs, you mm-hmm. will probably have some type of adverse reaction to mm-hmm. it, whether it's redness, irritation, rash, breakouts, whatever it is. So know what your skin can tolerate. Know what your skin is allergic to. That is so important. Like if you have an allergy, don't use something that you know you're allergic to, you know?
Right.
And
right.
That's what we're seeing with some of these younger girls and guys who are using products that are not for their skin type. The adverse reactions, because they don't understand their skin, you know? They mm-hmm. don't understand... Mm-hmm. I'm normal. I don't have acne. Therefore, I don't need to use something that's made for acne. I don't need to use, you know, a harsh retinol. Mm-hmm. I don't have those problems. And it's like when you're younger, simple is better. You don't need a 10-step routine just because you see somebody else doing it. You gotta listen to what your skin needs, your body needs. And then you can, you know, go out from there.
So let's speak to the tween and their parent, the tween specifically, who's dealing with an occasional breakout, who's just starting to see maybe hormonally induced acne. Run us through a routine, be as specific as you can, and let us know what actually is needed and what's not, so that we can help these parents out there who are like trying to keep their Ulta and Sephora bills down.
Right. So I think the first thing that you need to understand, and what your teenager needs to really understand, is that they can't do something once and expect for everything to be like magically mm-hmm. gone. It is a routine, which is why they call it skincare routine. You know, you have to be diligent about it. You have to be consistent. Even if you're tired at night and you don't want to wash your face, you got to do it. So step number one is you got to commit to it. If you're not mentally in the place to say, I'm going to take, and it's not a lot of time. I mean, we're talking like 5 minutes tops, but if you're not going to take the time every day to do your skincare routine, you won't see the results. Right. But from there, I always say it's really simple. A cleanser that's made for breakout prone skin is number one. You always want to start with cleanser. If you're oily, use it twice a day. If your skin is just breaking out here and there, and you know your teen is like, I can't wash my skin day and night because it's just too much for me, definitely at night. And if they're going to wash their face in the shower, make sure that they wash their face, which I'm fine with washing your face in the shower. I'm not one of those people that's like, no, you have to do it at the sink. Some people are very much about that. I say, if you're going to wash your face in the shower, that's fine. Do it after you do your shampoo, your conditioner, anything else. Because any of that product that drips down onto your face or is still in your forehead area can clog the pores. So you always want to shampoo, condition, then wash your face.
So it's not washing back down when you rinse and recoating your face.
Right. It's like the final step. So like whatever might be hanging out, you completely get off the surface. Mm-hmm. So cleanse is number one. From there, I say if you have active breakouts, you're going to want to use a spot treatment on those areas. You don't need to use it all over, you know, just where you have breakouts. If you know you're prone to certain areas and using a spot treatment helps reduce the breakout in a certain area, like if you're somebody who breaks out on your chin all the time, but if you want to treat that area just to keep them away, you can do that. But like, generally speaking, I think that just using them where you see active breakouts, unless you really know your skin, is probably best. Right. A very light moisturizer, like a gel moisturizer is my favorite for teenagers because they're normally non-comedogenic and they don't have a lot of the heavy oils that some of the thicker creams will have in them.
Right.
So very, very light gel moisturizer, or you can even do like a hyaluronic acid serum. Which also is like very lightweight on the skin, doesn't clog pores. And it's just like a serum is good for oily, acne prone skin. Just stay away from anything that's like a thick cream. You know, they don't need that. Especially if you're struggling with breakouts, you don't want to add more to what's perpetuating it.
Right. And
then sunscreen, like during the day, you know, and at night, just skip the sunscreen step. And if you, again, if you feel that you can only do your skincare routine at night and not in the morning, then do what works for you, but just have some type of consistency. There's really no need at this age for them to be putting on like lash growth serums. You know, sheet masks are fun to do every once in a while because they're normally just like hydrating. The scrubs, you know, that are not really necessary. Sometimes kids that break out do see some benefit from using a toner because it's like an extra step of really cleaning the skin if they're just going to use something that's appropriate for their skin, but they don't need to use like a loaded BHA, AHA exfoliating agent. That's not necessary. I say no to vitamin C, retinol, peptide.
Okay, I was going to ask specifically about vitamin C, so no.
I don't think it's necessary. I think that the problem with vitamin C is that it's great for somebody like you or I, right? Like we're trying to keep what collagen we have. We want to get rid of the sun damage. They don't have those problems. So a lot of the times using vitamin C when they're younger is just money down the drain. And the other thing with vitamin C is that if you are, because I have had people say to me, oh, but I use it for acne. It is not a commonly prescribed ingredient for acne. If you go to the dermatologist, they're not going to tell you to use vitamin C.
Right.
You might want to use it if you're a little bit older, if you're in your 20s and you have some signs of hyperpigmentation or leftover, you know, acne spots. But I don't think when you're in your teen, first of all, when you're a teenager, your skin is producing so many skin cells and turning over so fast. If you have a spot, it's gonna like clear up on its own. You really don't need all that much, you know, unless if you have like more extreme acne scarring. But a little bit of like a brown spot or a red spot from a pimple that's healed, give it time, stay out of the sun. It will go away on its own. And you know, the other thing with vitamin C that I was gonna say was that a lot of people don't understand that if it's not in the right carrier vehicle, that can break you out. So
like what's a good carrier? Just for my, you know, sake too, I want to know.
So a lot of vitamin C's are either in creams or they're in serums or some are even in oils. If you're breakout prone and you're using a vitamin C that's in an oil-based carrier, that can break you out. So you want to make sure that whatever you're using is compatible. That's why I always say it's all about knowing your skin type, because if you don't know that, okay, I'm oily and acne prone and that vitamin C can potentially break me out, you know, it can also be strong. So some people can find irritation that occurs from vitamin C. So it can be a little bit tricky to navigate vitamin C, and everybody thinks like, oh, it's an antioxidant. It's so wonderful for all skin types. And it's a great ingredient. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see the need for anybody who is probably under the age of 25 really using it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking gentle cleanser. I do want to throw this in too, because there are some girls who are wearing makeup younger. Do we need to be encouraging them to use a gentle micellar water or something to get that off? Because I know that when I use just, say, a gel cleanser, it's not removing all the makeup. And for a while I was breaking out, I mean, as an adult, because I wasn't kind of getting that off first. Do you suggest that first if they're wearing makeup before?
Yeah, if they're wearing heavy makeup, I would definitely say to do a double cleanse. Either micellar water or cleansing balm. This is the Twitch Peachy Clean. This is our cleanser. It's a gel cleanser. And a lot of people like to use it that wear heavier makeup during the day as a second step in their double cleanse. Because it will take away all of the first steps. So if you're using like a balm, you know, or an oil-based cleanser, it will definitely like take that all off. But you want to go to sleep at night with like clean skin, like nothing on it. So if you're not taking off your makeup every single day and removing it properly, the easiest way to tell is when you wash your face, look at your towel. If it is full of dirt and makeup when you're wiping your face off, then you're not getting it all off the right way. So if you do a good double cleanse, or if you use an eye makeup remover around your eyes, like you should not be taking a towel and rubbing your face with it to get the rest of your makeup off. You want to get the cleanser is supposed to be removing all that makeup. That's the job of the cleanser. Okay. But the more important piece is that if you're not removing all of your makeup at night and you're going to sleep on your pillowcase with a face full of makeup, and then you're not changing that pillowcase the next night or the next night or the next night, all you're doing is burying your skin in a dirty pillowcase that's full of dirt and oil and bacteria and now makeup. And it's just like mushing all around your face. And it's like, it's just not good. It's not good for your skin at all. So any makeup that you're using during the day, that's fine to wear, but you got to take it off at night.
Okay. Can we get a couple specific product recommendations? I'm going to link all the Twitch stuff, so we know that that's in there too, but maybe just give us an SPF you like that's good consistency for like teenage skin, a couple good moisturizers, and like give me some specifics that you
some of the stuff that like Madison uses that I have said that's fine for you to buy. So she uses the the Twitch Peachy Clean. I actually use this. We have a lot of moms that use this because not only does it have the silver and salicylic acid, it's an encapsulated salicylic acid, so it won't dry out your skin, but it also has glycerin and honey, so it's hydrating too. Yeah, it's great. It's non-drying, non-stripping, nothing. And it does do a really good job of taking off the makeup. So we use this in our house, everybody, my husband, myself, my daughter. She uses that. She uses for spot treatment, Zit Ain't Cute, which is our spot treatment.
Love the name.
Colloidal silver and salicylic acid, again, encapsulated salicylic acid. She uses the Belief Aqua Balm, which I love. That's at Sephora. It's a very gentle gel moisturizer, very lightweight on the skin. That's one of her favorite moisturizers. There's also another gel moisturizer from an indie beauty brand called Smood, S-M-O-O-D, that I like. It's great for acne-prone skin as well. And the Chloron, I'm going to butcher the name because it's something in French, but their Chloron micellar water, let's just call it that. It's a big bottle and it has a pump, so it's really easy to get the product out. It's not messy. I buy that for her on Amazon. That's
like
a blue. Great,
it's like a blue color, right?
Yeah, I think it's like called like the cornflower micellar water.
It's called cornflower. It sure
cornflower,
is.
Cornflower, right? But the one I buy always has the label in French, and I can never read what it says because I don't know how to speak French. But that's great. That's a great micellar water. It does a really good job of taking off the makeup, and it feels like nice and refreshing on the skin. Doesn't like make it feel like it's like squeaky afterwards. I'm trying to think, what else does she like a lot? What other products are we missing? Oh, sunscreen. Mm-hmm. There's a couple. There's a brush-on sunscreen from Color Science that mm-hmm. use the non-colored one. They have like tinted shades, and then there's like a non-tinted shade. It's super easy. Just brush it on. And it also helps to mattify the skin a little bit. So mm-hmm. she's dry, I'm oily. I use that also as like a touch up. So if I'm out during the day running around and I start to get like oily spots, I just like brush it on and I'm putting sunscreen on. So it's, you know, a double whammy there. And then also the Supergoop sunscreens are mm-hmm. great. They have sticks, they have creams, they have all different variations. So she likes those a lot. And then Elta MD has some really good sunscreens as well that are through, like a lot of dermatologists carry those too. But those are, you know, easy to just like implement because they do have a little bit of tint. So mm-hmm. if your daughter or son wants a little bit, you're not going to get like coverage from foundation with a tinted sunscreen, but it can give a little bit of an evening effect to the skin. So it's just like a tiny, tiny bit of coverage and like evening out, you know, might like take down like a little bit of like a red area. Okay. Not like the same as a concealer, obviously, but it's just it's a good little product to have on hand.
Okay. I feel like that's what people want. They want the specific information. They want to know what to buy and they want to know what to stay away from. Oh, and let's just round it out for like the tweens and the teens talk by calling out the ingredients one more time that you do not need. Yes, the no-nos. Please cover that for us.
There is no reason yet to be using retinol unless if your dermatologist prescribes it to you, which would probably not be a over-the-counter retinol unless if it's like a different form of retinol. I don't want to go into all that because it gets really complicated. But don't use retinol unless your dermatologist tells you to. How about that?
Got it.
So retinol, vitamin C, peptides, any really harsh exfoliating agents like glycolic acid, you know, the really gritty scrubs, those are not necessary to be using on your face. You don't need anything that's got really heavy oils, especially if you are breakout prone. So stay away from anything that's got oils in it. I don't like shea butter for teens and tweens that have very acne-prone skin. Essential oils, mm-hmm. products don't need essential oils. You know, fragrance isn't necessarily bad, but just make sure that your skin can tolerate it, because sometimes adding in a product that you think is natural with a natural fragrance to it can be worse than using something that might have like a little bit of a synthetic fragrance. You know, and you want to just stay away from anything that's a chemical, the endocrine disruptors. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, look towards products that are made for this skin type, because they were formulated with like the teen and tween skin mentality in mind. You know, they're not made for, like Drunk Elephant was never made to be used on younger skin. It was made as a line for older skin, and it became this crazy phenomenon. But that's why we have the problems, because you're not supposed to be using glycolic acid and retinol on your skin when you're, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, when your skin is cushy and collagen plump and beautiful, right?
And I always tell Madison, I'm like, you have the rest of your life when you're older to worry about all the things that I have to worry about. Lines, wrinkles, melasma, hyperpigmentation, loss of elasticity. It's not fun, but it's like just natural. That's what happens, right? I said, you don't have to worry about it now. You have like beautiful, healthy, plump skin. You've got full brows, long eyelashes, you know, like there's no need to sit there and be like, oh my God, my eyelashes aren't long enough. And I need to use lash growth serum. I need to use lip plumper. I'm like, you're 15 years old. This is the time when you don't have to worry about wearing any makeup. You just want to keep it simple, keep your skin healthy and clean and clear. And that's really it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. I like to be as specific as possible because, like I said, people want to walk away with like, okay, they know that there are some things not to, but if we can give names of things you like, ingredients we don't like, and guys, I'll put that all in show notes in the podcast episode here. If you're watching live, it'll be in the podcast episode. If you're listening, it'll be in show notes now. So, all right, Elise, we gave a lot of time to the kids. We need to just turn it away, turn it over to the moms for a second. I told you when we signed on. Yes, like the ones taking care of the tweens and teens. There have been a lot of interesting headlines, specifically regarding filler that we've seen over the past couple of months. You and I were talking offline, and we've each sort of changed our perspective. I have not been one for a hyaluronic acid filler in general a lot. I did it, I think, once under my eyes, but I did my lips here and there. But now it's getting a really bad rap. People are getting it dissolved, etc. Tell me what is going on in the world of filler and what we might want to be thinking about if we've already had some.
So with filler, it's been an interesting story that we've been watching. And like you're saying, a lot of the dissolving is happening. I actually wrote an article about this for New Beauty like a year ago, I think it was. And it was called I think we called it like something like, why is everybody playing the dissolving and reinjecting game? And it, the gist of the story was basically that there has been so much filler put into everyone's faces over the years. Some of it doesn't entirely break down. Some of it migrates. You know, your body will, and your face will age. So what you needed at one point may not necessarily be the same at what you need as you get older. And filler is not the answer for everything. You know, fillers fill, they volumize, but they don't lift the skin. They're not going to take away saggy skin. There's a time and a place for filler, and then there's a time and a place for other interventions, whether it's you need to stop using as much filler and you need to do Botox, or you say, I want this type of result and filler is not going to get it for you, and you have to go to the next step, and the only thing that's going to work is surgery. I mean, that's why it's, you know, it's still around. So a lot of people have been overfilled. And what happens when you're overfilled is the face starts to look distorted. It starts to look puffy. It starts to look pillowy. And if you're doctor hopping and going from one injector to the next, and you're not being honest about what's in your face and you just have filler built upon filler built upon filler, you're going to end up looking weird. And I think that, you know, not to throw it back to social media, but there's everything that you see on there is possible. And if you're going to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, if they're injecting into the wrong planes of the face, if they're using the wrong type of product, you're not going to be happy with what the end result is. And that has caused a lot of people, because it's so accessible now and you can go to anybody to get injected, a lot of people to look, you know, kind of strange and say, I don't like this and I want it out of my face. And so we're seeing a lot of people dissolve their fillers and either doing smaller doses of filler or swearing it off altogether and using different modalities. So whether they're saying, I want to have less of a chipmunk cheek and I'm just going to like let it, my natural cheek come out, and maybe I'll do a little bit of, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan of threads personally, but some people like that because they want more of like a lift. I don't personally like that. It's not my thing. I've never done it. Or they're doing, you know, more different technologies, different modalities like radiofrequency microneedling or ultrasounds, because it's collagen stimulating treatments that are going to tighten the skin without having to add anything to it. There's no synthetic ingredient being injected into your skin with some of the other, you know, energy-based treatments.
Right.
That are out there.
When you're done, remind me to ask you specifically about lasers, because you said something that makes me want to go in that direction. I feel like all of the recommendations are changing pretty much with all this stuff. But anyway, keep going and don't let me forget that.
Yeah, so I think it was very much like everything was filler for so long, like inject, inject, inject. And now people are going back and saying, I don't want to look like that. So they're dissolving it. And there's a little bit of a pendulum shift back again towards taking a different approach to anti-aging and just facial rejuvenation. And we're seeing a lot more of the neurotoxins being used to, you know, give a different type of effect to the face, because it's not adding bulk or volume to the face, but instead freezing the muscle activity for a short period of time, you know, 3 to 4 months, that can give a different type of look. I actually had all my filler dissolved, as we were talking before offline. I had all my filler dissolved. I just was not liking it. It was making my face look so heavy. Right. And I only have some back here in my jawline just to like build it out a little bit. But other than that, I haven't had any done in like 18 months. And I don't think I'm going to right now.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like there's a real renaissance of, I hate this word, but natural beauty. I think people are like, for the longest time, it was like thin lips are ugly. Well, maybe they are to some people, but like, you know, it's, if we weren't allowed to just not look like Angelina Jolie or all right. these beautiful pillow lipped women. And finally, there's a sort of acceptance of beauty coming in a lot of forms, and we don't yep. have to try to replicate what the Kardashians look like or whatever. And I love it. I mean, do what you want, and I still will do what I want too. It's not, I'm not swearing anything off, but it feels like there's a little more freedom generally in defining beauty.
I agree. I don't feel like everyone needs to fit into like a specific bucket anymore of like,
right.
oh, like you have to get like your lips done, your cheeks injected, you have to have, you know, microbladed eyebrows. It's you know, it's funny with beauty because something comes into fashion, everyone jumps on it. It's marketed as like the next best thing. It's going to cure every single one of your problems, no downtime, instantly, no scars, no nothing. And then a couple of years later, you're like, oh, whatever happened to that treatment? Oh, we stopped offering it because it was pulled from the market, or we weren't getting good results, or patients didn't really see anything from it. They didn't like it. It was too expensive to maintain. So it's really funny because a lot of treatments, you know, they don't stick around for a really long time. Botox, Dysport, yes. Fillers have, yes. Surgery, yes, but a lot of the other non-invasives, they come and go. They really do come and go.
Yeah, I was reading something about brow lifts too, being a little less common. Threads have gotten really bad press. I know you don't like them. There's some
I don't like
them.
They scare me. I've just heard so many horror stories, but
same. Like things snapping and falling and, you know, scar tissue developing around the thread that creates like something you don't want. I mean, it's like, that's like, the more you read, the less I want to do. Okay, I have to ask you about lasers specifically. Now, I've been going through a personal renaissance of my own where I've really dialed down on anything that feels aggressive on the face. And I gave myself like a 2-year period where I hadn't even touched retinol. I was just over it. Couldn't find anything that worked. I am like dipping my toe back into it because I just interviewed someone recently and I've been loving their line. So I'm going to give their retinol a try. But basically, this doesn't have to be for everyone. But for me, I've been dialing back on what I call like aggressive procedures. Has there been any backlash or any questions about lasers in particular? Because I'm reading some other people say they're stepping back from at least certain types for those very reasons. So can you tell us a little bit about what lasers we should be looking into and what might be a little overly aggressive, say for aging skin?
I think I call them like the baby lasers. So the ones that are like the smaller dose, lower energy lasers are still really popular. You know, a lot of people want the skin rejuvenating benefits of it, but they don't realize that if they don't do it when it's really necessary, it can cause a lot of problems. And if you're doing it too early, you can, you know, you can cause unnecessary, you know, damage to the skin because some of these lasers heat up a lot of the fat. And if you are doing them when they are not necessary, you don't need it, you could be killing off the volume in your face. There was a big period where people were having this this like fat loss issue with Ultherapy. And
that was the one that was supposed to boost collagen, right?
Well, it does boost collagen, but it can also, some of these lasers can also, and I've heard people saying the same thing with Morpheus 8, that they're seeing the effects of fat loss and hyperpigmentation when they were like, this is not what this treatment was supposed to be doing, because they're really aggressive. So, you know, you got to be really, really careful. I don't do a lot of lasers because again, I'm acne prone. I find that when I've done any of the aggressive lasers, that they send my skin into overdrive or breakouts. And I've asked a lot of dermatologists why. I think the reason is because it's producing inflammation as a way to kickstart the collagen, but maybe my skin recognizes the inflammation and it sends it in and then I get like the breakouts. Plus you also have to use a lot of these occlusive agents after you have a laser and they're really thick and your skin doesn't breathe the same way with them. So I think my guess, piecing everything together, is a combination of two. So I don't really do a lot of lasers. I did maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say, I did Moxie, which is like a baby fractionated laser, kind of like a step up from an IPL. I did that just to help with some pigmentation. And I like that. It wasn't like anything like drastic downtime, but it's also like a very subtle difference in my skin. But I just finished doing a 4-part BBL for redness and hyperpigmentation. And that's just light. And it made such a difference in my skin. It just feels smoother, but the texture, I mean, the tone, the coloration is so much better after doing that. So like for me, I'm like, I don't need to do an aggressive laser, an aggressive laser right now, because like my skincare is kind of doing its job. And I think that it's helping. Yeah, I think the lasers they're a little tricky. You know, everyone sees something and they're like, oh my God, I have to go get Morpheus 8, or I have to go get, you know, Ultherapy or Softwave or whatever it is. And in the right person, they could be great, but in the wrong person and in the wrong hands, some of these treatments can be dangerous.
Right. Yeah, it's just such an individual thing. But I always say, like, just really research the provider. You know, you just don't want to be one of those horror stories. So to wrap things up, Lisa, I want to do just a quick lightning round. I'm going to run through other procedures and things that are available out there. Just give me like Elise's take, a yes or no and why. Okay. And guys, this is like, take this as, you know, as you will. I don't want anyone coming back and saying, but wait, Elise said, just, you know, this is her opinion. Okay. We've heard a lot about buccal fat removal when they remove the fat pads and the sides of the cheeks. Yes, no, and why?
No, I think that you don't know what you're going to look like as you age once you take them out, and you can't put it back. So leave well enough alone.
What about the lip lift? We've seen a lot of that lately too.
Done right, it can be amazing. Are you talking about surgical or with Botox?
Surgical.
Amazing. Do your homework. Find a plastic surgeon that specializes in it, that's like their bread and butter and is known for it. There are some out there, but you got to make sure that you're doing it right, because that scar that goes under your nose, you want that to be like paper thin. You don't want anybody to see it. And I've seen some of them where the scar is pretty bad and it's like a dead giveaway that you had it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. What about red light therapy? And if so, which one do you like?
I like red light therapy as an adjunct to the in-office, like I've been doing the BBL and the more intense red light. It's a way to maintain it. I use the JTAV clinical red light mask. It has a red light and a blue light and then like a red blue light combination. There's so many out there that are great. There's ones from Omnilux that are good. Franklin. There's a bunch of them that are out there. Dennis Gross has a light that's that weird looking one. I think that they're helpful, but they're not going to solve like every single skincare problem that you have.
Yeah. Okay. When do we know we're ready for surgical versus injectables? I'm talking facelift, lower facelift, etc. Just your quick advice on that.
When you're not getting results from whatever you're doing currently and you find that you're spending so much money, you got to look at it like almost like a cost per wear type of thing.
Yeah.
If you're spending $10,000 on injectables every single year over the course of, let's say, 4 years, I mean, there's your facelift, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you're not getting the results and you're like, this is costing me an arm and a leg, then you know it's time.
Yeah. Okay. We need that, especially us ladies in the 40s. You know, we need to know when we start to have to fund the surgery fund.
Don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. That's the same thing. Like with the teens using the skincare, the retinol. Like, don't do it because all your friends are getting facelifts or getting their eyes. Do it. Do it because you're like, I don't like how this looks and nothing is working for me.
Yeah. I'm joking about that. But I do want people to like be judicious about it. I think some of the best aging or the how we look and we're most happy comes when we like sort of follow our own path. So like, don't listen to what I do and just be like, hey, I want to do, you need to really like develop a relationship with your aesthetic provider. That's what I really think. And don't go to, I feel like there's a lot of over injecting happening, but you know, I can't.
And the other thing I'll tell you, and I tell this to all my friends, if you're considering having any type of facial surgery or body surgery for that matter, and there is somebody that you like, you're like, I love this surgeon's work. And it's like, that's exactly what I want. But they have a waiting list. Wait for it. Like, don't settle. Don't say, oh, I'm just going to go to another guy down the street because he has an opening in 6 months. And I really want to get this done. I can't wait another 6 months. Like, wait for it. It's your face. You've got one. You don't want to mess it up, you know? So be patient and go to somebody who is board certified, that has a good reputation, and that you like really vibe with, that you like their style.
Right. I love that. Elise, thank you so much for spending time with me today. My dog Romeo is attacking me, so I have to wrap it up. But please tell us how to track you down and how to find Twitch Skin, all the good stuff.
So I'm on Instagram. It's my handle is Elise Tabin. And Twitch, my little baby, is on twitchskin.com. We're also on Instagram and TikTok. And yeah, you can find us there.
You are such a fun follow on social media.
Oh,
thank you for always
putting together. So are you. This was so fun. I love this.
Same. I'm really proud of you. And Madison, I wish you guys the very best of luck. And we'll chat soon, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode of We Gotta Talk. If you don't mind, I would love if you could leave a rating and review. Those help this show to get out to people who might find it useful or entertaining. I'm so grateful for your support. Please follow on Instagram at Sunny Abada or check out our latest blog post at wegottatalk.com/blog. See you next time.